ba bu ba bu ba bum, ba bu ba bu ba bo, ba bu ba bu ba bo.
Well, it's been a very exciting day here at WGN Radioland. As one of our all-time favorite people, Henry Winkler, came up for a visit. Wendy was very, very nervous, very admitted to her nervousness, which I guess.
Are you nervous now?
I am now, yes. I always get nervous after the stars leave. Not during, not before or during, but once the stars are out. I think you took my wallet. My wallet's gone, Wendy. That's weird.
I just am glad it's over with. I know it's so weird. It's just a stupid way of being where, you know, hey, let's get some great guests in here. And then they come in and I'm a nervous wreck. Yeah. He was fine. I'm fine. Everybody's fine.
Here's the weird part for me is that we've had so many guests on over the years that throughout my life, I've enjoyed their work and never, ever expected. Like as a kid, when you would watch Happy Days, you never thought, probably at some point, I'll meet that guy. I'll probably meet Fonzie. I'll have a conversation with him. You can't even fathom that. The odds are so far against that.
Although you did that with Danny Bonaducci.
Well, Danny, I took it to a different level. I was convinced upon watching Danny and the Partridge Family that not only would I meet him, but that we would be friends and work together. And then it ended up that way. We were friends and we worked together.
I thought I would date him.
Did you think you would date Danny?
I loved Danny. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, all the girls had a crush on Keith Partridge, but Danny was funny. Right. I liked the funny.
Yeah. Yep. I told him once, we were talking about his days on the Partridge Family, and I said, we all wanted to be you. And he said, I was me, and I didn't want to be me. And I said, oh, that's so sad. And he goes, I'm not kidding. He said, during those years when I had my own TV show and I should have been at my happiest, I wasn't. But I didn't want to know that as a kid. I wanted to think, imagine that. You're pretending you're in a rock band. You're getting paid to hang out on TV and pretend you're in a rock band. And be on Tiger Beat.
He was on Tiger Beat.
He was on Tiger Beat magazine.
Yeah, what was the other one? God, I had all those. Tony DeFranco of the DeFranco family.
Yeah.
Donny Osmond.
Leif Garrett.
Yeah.
He was on there all the time. Bobby Sherman.
I loved Bobby Sherman.
Was always on there. An actor whose name is lost in history, but maybe you'll remember him, Wes Stern.
That's not a real name.
Yeah.
Wes Stern.
His first name was Wes. His last name was Stern.
Oh, Western.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It turned out that his name was Western.
Wes Stern. What did he do?
His parents were huge John Wayne fans.
Oh, I remember him.
Remember him?
Yeah. He didn't really.
He'd show up on Tiger Beat sometimes.
Yeah. What was he known for?
Getting It Together. Which was a
sequel. Getting Together.
Getting Together. It was a spinoff.
He was Lionel Poindexter.
Lionel Poindexter, right.
You knew that, didn't you?
I think Pat Carroll was also on that show. And Bobby Sherman.
Really?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
He was like the poor man's Bobby Sherman.
Yeah.
I mean,
a dorky Bobby Sherman.
Yes, yes, yes.
A flawed Bobby Sherman.
The nerd Bobby Sherman. Yeah, Western.
Yep.
It's hard. That can't be his real name.
It is.
Getting Together, the first time he was in, he's known for that as well. I don't know what that, and he was on Cheers.
Was he?
Yeah, CPO Sharky.
Oh.
He was on Rhoda a lot. He was Lenny Fieldler.
Oh, yeah,
Wasn't that Beth's boyfriend or something?
Not Beth. On Rhoda?
Yeah.
You mean her sister?
No, who was Phyllis's daughter?
Oh, right. Lisa Gerritsen.
But that was on Phyllis, so never mind.
Right.
He was on Love American Style. Honestly, that's where I think I remember him the most.
Yeah, he'd show up on Love American Style from time to time.
And the Partridge Family.
But an unlikely, like when you mentioned those other cover boys for Tiger Beat Magazine or 16 Magazine, he seemed an unlikely fit to that because he was...
Dorky.
He was dorkier.
But he had good hair.
Oh, tremendous hair.
It was all about the good hair.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize that he played Lionel Poindexter on...
Partridge Family.
And then had a spinoff. Did you say that? I'm sorry if I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
He
was a songwriter, I believe.
Yeah, here's the synopsis of Getting Together. A pair of pop-oriented songwriters, melodist, singer Bobby, and tone-deaf lyricist Lionel try to eke out a living in the Los Angeles music scene. The pair live with Bobby's younger sister, Jennifer, in an antique shop. Why don't I remember this?
Was it Pat Carroll? Was that who played the older lady who roomed them? I was going to say boarded them, but is that accurate? Yeah, boarded them.
Pat Carroll.
Pat Carroll.
She was funny.
Yes.
She's still with us?
I don't think so. She was in that, the Kay Ballard school of...
Exactly.
Sassy actresses.
Yes.
Don't cross me. You know? Like, they would have a good sense of humor, but only to a point. Don't cross me, you kids.
She might be still with us.
Is she? I hope so.
Yeah,
I would like to think that that's true.
Good.
But she'd be...
she's 92.
I was just going to say, she's still alive, though. Good.
Yeah, but be looking for the news tomorrow. It's your fault.
Oh, don't say that. The last thing I want to do this week is kill Pat Carroll. Did you see my... You know how a lot of people have to-do lists?
Yeah.
I have a don't-do list, and that is like the number one thing for this week. Please do not kill Pat Carroll.
Is that your honey don't list?
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm trying to market that, but so far no takers.
I want to share a story with you. I wanted to do it on 7:20 a.m., but I have to bring this up because it has touched me in such an amazing way, something in the news.
What's that?
This is a little old. This is like a year or so old. But someone recently posted something on Facebook, and that's when I first got wind of this story.
Mm-hmm.
It was at LAX Airport, and there was a woman who posted this on Facebook, and she says, I'm writing this on the plane. I was at the gate waiting to get on my plane to Portland. Flights to two different cities were boarding on either side of the Portland flight.
Mm-hmm.
A toddler who looked to be about 18 or so months old was having a total meltdown. Running between the seats, kicking and screaming, then lying on the ground, refusing to board the plane. His young mom, who was pregnant and traveling alone with her tantruming son,
mm-hmm.
became completely overwhelmed. She couldn't pick him up because he was so upset. He kept running away from her. Then he was lying down on the ground, kicking and screaming again. It is the worst thing in the world to have a kid have a tantrum. The mother finally sat down on the floor, put her head in her hands with her kid next to her, still having a tantrum, and she started crying. This pregnant mom... with a tantruming toddler next to her. Then, according to this Facebook poster, this gorgeous thing happened. The women in the terminal, there must have been six or seven of us, not women who knew each other. They weren't traveling together. They were all strangers. They all approached and surrounded her and the little boy, and we knelt down and formed a circle around them. I sang the Itsy Bitsy Spider to the little boy. One woman had an orange that she peeled and gave it to the boy. One woman had a little toy in her bag that she let the toddler play with.
Mm-hmm.
Another woman gave the mom a bottle of water. Someone else helped the mom get the kid's sippy cup out of her bag and give it to him. It was gorgeous. There was no discussion. No one knew anyone else, but we were all able to calm them both down. She got her child on the plane, and that was the end of
it.
Wow. I am covered in goosebumps because there was no judging. There was no nothing. They just helped a mother in need.
All right. Here's the question that was playing in my head the whole time that story was being told. No guys did this. There wasn't a single guy. Like, every guy walking
not
past
them. Not this particular situation.
All right, so what do you think is behind that, that women would just automatically realize, I have got to help. I see another woman in distress, and it's my job to step in and help. Six of them simultaneously did that. Why wouldn't a guy who had seen the same thing said, I don't have all the skills that a mom has, but I have some. I got to help in some way. Why were guys not jumping in to help?
I can only say that women help other women when they have experienced that situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying kids don't have tantrums in front of dads.
Right.
But I'd say the majority of the time, I laugh at Jimmy Mack when he tells me, my mom used to drag us to the store all the time because she didn't leave us home alone. So my brother and I would go to Marshall's and all these places.
Yeah.
And your mom did that too.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
So moms were the ones that had the kids. And one of my sons had a major meltdown in Marshall's, I guess that's Willowbrook. And I told you, I bet if they checked their security cameras from 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I'm still on it because I did not know what to do. And it's just, it's a terrible, helpless feeling.
But if that story, let's say it was a dad traveling with a kid who was throwing a tantrum. Would other dads have come to the rescue and said,
I don't believe so.
I have a child at home who sometimes misbehaves. I can help you. It's got to just be some motherly instinct that guys just don't have, right?
I think women have a different type of compassion.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
It's and then she went on to say, after that pregnant mom and the non-tantruming toddler anymore, when they went through the door to get on the plane, we all went back to our separate seats and didn't talk about it.
Mm.
We were strangers gathering to solve something. Mm. It occurred to me that a circle of women with a mission can save the world. I'll never forget that moment. We've all been in this position, and there's sometimes, you know, you got to let the tantrum happen.
Yeah, I guess so.
But
yeah.
It's just, it's so heartbreaking because this poor mom just like gave up.
Right.
Because, I mean, what are you going to do right. at this point? Let the kid finish the tantrum.
Yeah.
And it's like a thunderstorm. Once the tantrum's over,
it's back to normal.
It's pretty much back to normal.
You just don't know how long it's going to last.
Exactly.
I'm disappointed in guys. Because I think at least one guy should have said, uh-oh, another person's in peril. I can do something to help. And to the women, they didn't even think about it. It was just an instinct. I'm going to help. That's it. I'm in.
It's so weird, though. It's like, you know, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I have for many years. I only like my kids. I don't like other people's kids. I've never, and I don't
Weren't
mean
you
that.
The winner of the Joan Crawford Award a couple years ago for saying that?
I don't mean offense by that. And if I saw you in trouble, I would certainly help you. But yes. I'm not that kid.
Yeah.
Or I'm not that woman who will go up and to a brand new baby and go, oh my God, give me the baby. I want to hold the baby.
Right.
I did that. I loved it with my kids. Yeah. I like my own kids.
Yeah. I understand.
And I still would help other people in need. I'm only sharing this because if this ever happens,
yes,
I just think we should all help each other. And I know when my
even
kids,
feeling that way that you're not thrilled with other people's kids, you would still come to the aid of somebody who needed you.
Yeah, because
you
I'm not really like helping the kid. I'm helping the mom right there. And I've been in that predicament. And I'm trying to think of, you know, when our kids had tantrums when they were younger and Jim was with them. You know, Jim is the king of diversionary tactics.
Yeah.
In the middle of a meltdown with the kids, he would like, we call it the stupid dance because at some point Jim would like, I don't know, he kind of rubbed his stomach and just did the stupid dance. Oh. And a lot of times they'd start laughing at him and forget they were tantruming.
Yeah. Oh.
So guys certainly can help.
But we help through dance.
No, I just, like if Jim were there, he might have gone.
Do you think he would have helped?
Probably not. Because we're past that tantruming phase.
Yeah.
But when you're in the heat of the moment, it's like any help and no, I love that no one said anything. They all just kind of jumped to it.
No coordinator. No one said, you do this, I'll do this, you do this. It just happened organically.
It was kind of a sweet little thing. I do find it shocking that after the mom and toddler then did get on the plane to board, I'm kind of surprised the other moms didn't go, hey, good work.
Right.
Hey, boy, remember when my kid, it was like there was no talking after.
Just went on their ways. Like it was just, that's just a thing you do. If somebody's in need, you help
Super
them
mom.
And you move on. Wow.
I just, that really touched me.
Yeah.
And I think men, and I can't speak for men because I am not one, even though you forget.
Hmm.
I think you would be, there's too many things going through your head in this day and age.
Sports.
I'm thinking about
sports.
No, but to help a woman, like, you wouldn't want to be perceived as being a creepy guy coming up, taking advantage of a woman. So I think you may hold back. I mean, like, if somebody fell and was limping or couldn't get up, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You'd just go, oh, my God, are you okay? Can I help in any way? But, you know, just to see a mom melting down, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird time now where even if you wanted to help,
you have to rethink. What will my actions cause?
Right.
What will happen?
And unfortunately, that's bad.
The reason I asked about why no guys came to help is there's a commercial that's been running for almost a year, and I don't remember which airlines it is. I want to say Southwest, but I could be wrong. So what you see in the commercial is it's a bunch of vignettes. It's the one where one of the flight attendants like kisses her hand and kisses the logo of the plane as she's walking into the plane. That's how the commercial ends. I want to say it's Southwest. Anyway, one of the vignettes, it's just a quick cut of a few things that have happened in and around their airline at the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is there's a woman walking off of a flight, and she's left something on the flight that I think is a laptop computer. And somebody from the plane, somebody dressed in the uniform of, you know, the flight attendants, comes running after and hands it to her, hey, as if to say, hey, you left this on the plane and you really need this, please take it back. And then the woman whose laptop it is, or whatever article, I don't remember, I think it's a laptop, she hugs that woman. She's like, oh, you saved my life, thank you, and there's a hug. And then I always think whenever I see that, what if one of those two characters in this fictional vignette was a guy and one was a girl? Would that hug still take place? I don't think it would it?
I
think that would so be, even though it's not blatant, there'd be some sexual component that would make some people uncomfortable.
Yeah, but isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Because if that was me on the flight and I forgot my laptop and a male flight attendant came out and said, oh, miss, I think you forgot this, I would hug him.
Yeah. But they can't... Yes, I'm sure there's instances where it happens, but for the sake of a commercial, because it's public record, they would go, we don't want to give the impression on our airlines that just because you leave an article of clothing or a laptop, that there's going to be some hugging. The last thing we want to do is make anyone think that. So
you're right.
It's very strange. Every time I see that commercial, that's all I think about is, it's a good thing it was two women in that scenario, because if there was a guy on either end of it, somebody would be uncomfortable.
See, that's a load of crap, quite honestly.
Probably.
I would say there are, I don't know, my statistics could be off, but a hug, 90% of the time, is just that.
Right.
Connotation.
This was just gratitude.
Yeah, like, oh my God, thank you.
You, boy, you have no idea the problems you just saved me by running after me after my flight and giving me this, because my life would have been a hellish situation if it was otherwise. So that's what they're conveying a message in a very short span of time. So it has to be quick, obviously, but it's one of the many times when I'm watching something and I'm distracted by the reality of, well, in a commercial that can happen, but in real life, if you play it differently, I don't know if it plays out.
Well, that goes back to a guy not wanting to approach this crying pregnant mother.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
Because it's like, that's why I think there weren't men that were coming up, because they didn't want to appear like,
because you'd
look
almost
at this
have to,
creep.
You'd have to preface it with a sentence or two of why you're coming to that woman's aid. Like, for a woman to do it, there doesn't need to be any exchange of anything.
You don't have to explain it. You just do it.
You're a mom. I'm a mom. I'm here to help you out. But if it's a guy involved, it's like, I also have kids. My kids are one of my kids is a little older than yours, one a little younger, but you have to almost explain your actions.
See, that saddens me.
It's very sad.
We should just be able to help people. Mm. I will say there was an interesting incident in a town near ours. I was coming home and I saw a woman who was lying on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked like she couldn't get up. And she was, kind of slight. She probably...
Younger or older?
Probably not much older than me. I mean...
So 70s?
She wasn't... in the sense frail, she was very thin.
Yes.
And it looked like she was having difficulty getting up.
Yeah.
You know how you see like a beetle that flips
over?
Yeah, and she couldn't get her, or a turtle, she couldn't get her bearings to get up, and it was raining.
Hmm.
And I kind of drove past her and stopped and then got out of the car and said, can I help you?
Yeah.
And she said, yes, that would be great. I hurt my arm really badly and I can't get up. I can't put weight on it.
Yeah.
So I very gingerly grabbed her knot on her hurt arm and I helped her stand up.
Wow.
And she brushed herself off and she seemed like she could have been drunk or something.
Yeah.
But she had nice clothes on and a nice handbag. And I just said, is there someone I can call?
Uh-huh.
Is there something I could do? And she just said, no, my insurance sucks. Don't call anybody.
Oh.
And thank you very much. And she walked away from me. And then I'm thinking, should I have offered her a ride? But
Right. Then
it's like, I don't know what's happening here. And she just kind of scooted away. She just kind of wanted to get about her business.
Yeah.
And I don't know what became of this woman.
Do you remember there was a day you and I were leaving at the same time, and I explained to you that I had to, this building has this program with umbrellas.
Where, oh, yeah, yeah.
If you weren't smart enough to know that the weather could turn, the front desk downstairs has this thing where if you work in the building, you give them your building ID, and then they lend you an umbrella, and you're supposed to bring it back that day. But I always explain to them, I know it's the middle of the day, but I'm leaving for the day. I'll bring it back tomorrow, and then you make the exchange back. So on that particular day, was that 2 weeks ago? About 2 weeks ago? It was raining pretty hard, and I was about halfway on the journey to my car, about three blocks away, and somebody comes out of the hotel. It's a woman who comes out of the hotel, and it's pouring, and she doesn't have an umbrella. So it just synced up that she was coming to the same intersection as I was, and I'm like, I really should offer her.
It's not your umbrella to give.
Well, in my head, it's like, here's the way it could happen. I could hold the umbrella in the middle. And
saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you weren't going to give her the umbrella.
I wasn't going to give it to her. I was just going to, if she was walking toward
your
where
direction.
I was going,
right. You'd share it.
I would share it. But then I thought,
she's going to think you're a creep.
It's going to seem like I'm coming on to her in some way, shape, or form. Like I've created the rainstorm just as a chance to meet her on
the
corner.
That's a good move.
Yeah. So I was like for a split second, I'm like, she's going to walk a couple blocks in this horrible rain. Wherever she gets, she's going to look like she's just in a creek or something. But I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I guess mine was different because I was helping another woman, but I don't know. I mean,
In that situation, she needed help.
So I don't think she would have cared if it was a guy.
Right, anybody.
But no one should have to double think why they're trying to help someone. They
just
shouldn't
help.
Have to explain it.
Yeah.
Help and don't be creepy. I mean, really?
Those are the two. That should be our credo. Help and do not be creepy. In that order, Wendy, or would you reverse the order?
I'd maybe reverse the order. Don't be creepy and just
and then help.
And help people. But it's a sad world where you have to explain, hey, I'm not
I don't mean anything by this.
I'm not grabbing a feel.
I'm just a friendly Chicagoan.
Wanting to share my umbrella with you, hot lady. But I admire you for being such a gentleman.
I didn't follow through, though.
Because you
can't. But it's hard to be.
Yeah,
it is hard to be a gentleman.
I guess.
You just gave him excuses for the next 10 years.
I mean, it's just a sad day and age we live in. You question
everything.
Everybody's motives.
Yes.
That's what you question.
Yes.
Why would this stranger want to help me? Something must be up, right? That's in the back of everyone's brain now all the time. Who would have? I don't know that guy. I don't know that girl.
Was it the same intersection where you almost got your shoe shined?
Very same.
You need to avoid that area.
That intersection.
It's a problem area for Bill.
Half the show content, Kim, comes from that corner. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim has the news, and then there's more of us.
And we're going to talk more about Halloween costumes. That's What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Kim, earlier in the show, we were saying how at the website cosmopolitan.com, they have listed the most popular Halloween costume of every year.
Oh, wow.
I think they started, what was it, Wendy, in 1950? Was that about where we started, I think?
51 or something, yes.
Some of them we have taken issue with. I'm not calling the people over at cosmopolitan.com liars, but there's a couple of them that are a little suspect that I can't believe that kids would be influenced by that many Alfred Hitchcock movies to dress like characters from his movies. It's possible. But as Wendy pointed out, this could be for any. It could maybe adults so dominated that year, you know, their costumes could be. In 1975, everybody was dressing like the characters from Jaws. Do you remember that? Because, I certainly remember Jaws.
What else is a character other than the shark?
Roy Scheider?
Yeah, the Sheriff Brody.
Yeah, I could see that with the round glasses and, like, a khaki-colored coat.
But Matt Hooper wasn't a popular costume, the Richard Dreyfuss character, and Quint.
Who was the...
You'd just be a kid with razor stubble.
Who was... Oh, God, this is just the dumbest move I ever did. Who was the one who... I think it was Quint who crushed a can with his hand or something.
Well, he scratched a chalkboard. Oh, y'all know me. You know what I do for a living.
Thinking about that.
Yeah.
But I thought he also, like, crushed a can when they found some things. These sharks will eat anything. And he smashed a can.
Yeah.
I was at Burger King in Berwyn with some of my friends.
Yeah.
And that's when smoking was allowed in restaurants, and they had these little foil ashtrays.
Oh, right. I remember those.
That looked, you know, little flared edges.
Yeah.
And I thought I would do my impression of Quint, and I squished it because it's like, it's an ashtray. What's it going to do? I cut the hell out of my hand.
Oh, sure. That's not what they're there
you're
for.
You're probably bleeding like you were bit by a shark.
I didn't even get to enjoy my Whopper back then. And then you feel stupid. You're trying to do something funny and be right. goofy, and then it backfires. But I that that little ash, that metal yeah. ashtray, it was a red one.
I
they had
exactly
red
what you're talking
and gold
about.
Yeah. and blue.
Yep.
Like, we got to get it. It's going to bite. I got to get bigger bone or something. And I smushed it, blood all over the place.
It was that Amityville town council meeting where he's in the back of the room. You don't even see the character at first. You just hear him scratching his nails on the board. Y'all know me. You know what I do for a living. Scratch your nails on a board? Yes.
Didn't that movie have profound impact on you? Because
yes.
I cannot swim in dark water because of that movie.
But you know that if a shark is coming, you're going to hear the music.
Right, of course.
You get a couple seconds of warning.
Even a dark pool I won't swim in. I know typically there are lights under the water, but...
You don't get a lot of sharks in pools, though.
Very seldom. It's just had this impact on me.
Is it like your Psycho is to showers as Jaws is to any body of water, including swimming pools?
Yeah.
What about a Mr. Turtle pool? Would you be okay in one of those?
Probably.
Yeah. Not in the deep end, though. Stay away from the deep end. Stay away from the deep end, Wendy.
The deluxe version of Mr. Turtle.
Mr. Turtle pool. There was a regular Mr. Turtle pool that was just a cheap pool, and then there was the one that my neighbors had. The Brookses had one that had a slide, but the slide, like the elevation on the slide, was about 4 inches.
Yeah,
you just go on the slide and just. It took an eighth of a second to get down to the bottom of it. Rich people. In 1976, Wendy, the number one costume inspired by the movie Rocky was that of Rocky Balboa.
Oh, that I can believe.
Yep.
So what did you do? Just wear
boxing trunks and a robe?
No shirt? Oh, a robe, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Boxing gloves.
Maybe boxing. Yeah, sure. Boxing gloves. Yep.
I should have gone as Paulie.
Kurt Young?
Yes. That movie's really so good.
I love that movie.
I haven't seen it in years. I got to go back and see it again because I remember really loving it and then seeing it a couple years later and liking it, not loving it. But I got to see it again. It was pretty good.
And the two turtles, Cuff and Link.
Yes.
That's what their names were.
Yeah. And was his dog's name Dick Butkus, or am I imagining that? I want to say his dog's name was Dick Butkus.
Well, you're probably right.
It could be. But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, honestly, in 30 years.
But so anytime you hear the theme song, it just...
Very inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't they just...
Butkus.
Oh, it was
just Butkus.
Just Butkus.
Very good.
On This Is Us the other day, didn't they run up the stairs that Rocky runs up in Philadelphia?
Yes.
They did,
Don't
right?
tell me I haven't watched it yet.
That's all you need to know. And I got to tell you, I told Bill this off the air. I'm sorry to interject. That is the best show ever made.
I just saw this season one, and it took a while for it to all come together, but I was like, what is going
on? By design.
Yes.
I know.
Because that's what
they
did the very first episode.
One too. Right, exactly.
You didn't know what happened
exactly.
until it happened.
And now it's all coming together, so I haven't seen number
all right,
two.
We won't
but it just touches every one of my emotions. It makes me want to be a better person. You're going to say I should watch it more?
They should run it every
Double
hour.
Watch it.
They should run constant episodes in real time.
It just
It's just so good. It just pulls at every heartstring.
Yeah.
It's all about family, and you got no one if you don't have your family. And sometimes it's not always as it appears. A perfect looking family may not be so perfect after all.
Yes.
So it hits every cylinder with me.
Do you know if I'm not there when it's on, if my wife is watching or one of my daughters is watching, they only watch the Randall and Beth scenes. They don't care about anybody else. And I go, you can't do that. You have to watch all the scenes if you're going to watch the show. But they only like Randall and Beth. They don't care about anyone else. It's not right.
I love Randall.
I mean, I love Randall and Beth, but I mean, you got to love Toby.
I don't like Toby.
Wendy.
Why? I don't know. Toby's too over the top for me.
Kevin
is, you know.
I don't like him either.
Oh. Well, you should watch
what do you like?
Wife.
Why do you watch the show?
I like Mandy
What if
Moore
every character we mentioned can't stand that guy? Yeah. Hate that woman.
And I shouldn't say I don't like him, but Toby is just too much. You know, Kate has a lot going on, and I know he's trying to be the comedic relief, and I don't know what it is. He just is too much for me.
That's disappointing.
There's only one person I really don't like on the show.
Oh, I got to hear it now.
Miguel bothers me.
Oh, Kim.
I like Miguel.
He was there when she needed him.
I know.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Sorry.
But he benefited from
Miguel.
That.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
But she did too. See, it's just all weird situations.
Yeah.
That, you know, I got to be honest with you, are not your typical situations you see on a family series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to see that not everything goes according to someone's plan.
Exactly.
Don't you think that the key to that show working, and the other example I will use is Lost. I know that's a stretch between This Is Us and Lost, but the element of the story being told out of sequence is so beneficial to the show's success.
Oh, absolutely.
Because stuff pays off in a weird, random order. You know, because you go later on, you'll watch for a while and you go, oh, that's why.
You have to be patient.
That's why, yeah.
And typically, I'm not very good with the time travel things. I'm not.
Either. I'm like, just keep it in the real world.
Let's yeah.
But they really do a pretty good job letting you follow along. And surprisingly, I didn't have trouble following Lost.
But it's the same thing of there's things that don't make sense to you. And then sometimes a few episodes or even a season or two later, you go, that's why that happened, because that guy and that... Oh, now I see.
I think the writing is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's great.
Very good. Wendy, in 1977, you or someone you're married to will be thrilled to learn that Star Wars costumes were the most popular, especially Princess Leia.
I'm sure
Jimmy
Mann jumped.
I would have thought Darth Vader would have been the most popular in 77, but it was Princess Leia.
I'm surprised it wasn't like R2-D2 or C-3PO.
Han Solo's the way to go.
Well, don't you think, though, that with Star Wars, especially if a kid was going to dress like a Star Wars character, guys had 1,000 options and girls had pretty much Princess Leia.
Right. Unless you wanted to go the robot route.
Right.
Droids, excuse
although
me.
They
sorry.
Are, although they are
sorry,
both,
Jim.
Right. Although I believe they're both male, aren't they? R2-D2 and C-3PO are, I think.
I never thought of their sexes.
They're droids, so maybe it doesn't matter.
3PO, yeah, is a guy.
Yeah.
What's their pronoun?
they identify as droids, is all I know.
Piece of junk.
That's all I know. In 1978, everybody was dressing like Tony Manero from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yep.
The white suit.
I remember several people that year being dressed like that. In 1979, it was Christopher Reeve's version of Superman. Makes perfect sense.
Although, how come Superman never happened, like, costumes prior to this
one? Well, it did. There was always, you always had Superman and Batman and Spider-Man, but because that movie was such a huge hit, that really inspired people to dress like it. But I remember seeing kids dressed as those characters for years prior to the movie coming out. In 1980, it was the three main characters from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Really?
Beau Duke, Luke Duke,
and
Patty Duke.
Who were the Daisy Dukes? What was her name?
Catherine Bach.
Yeah, but what was her character?
Daisy Duke.
Wasn't it Daisy?
I
mean, those are now the shorts, but I think her name was Daisy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I never really got into that show.
I neither.
I liked Boss Hogg.
Did you? Really? Were you Boss Hogg for Halloween, Kim?
No.
Please bring that picture in, please. In 1981, no surprise, Indiana Jones was the most popular Halloween costume of 1981.
I think that's timeless. I think you can be that anytime.
Yeah.
I really do.
Oh, yeah. Some of these, like you go, like Elvis Presley we mentioned earlier, that's still happening. Maybe not the most popular costume, but yeah, Indiana Jones forever.
Yeah.
In 1982, Wendy
Indiana Jones forever.
Yeah.
Rock
in 1982, it was a Broadway musical, then it was a hit movie.
Grease.
No, but that's an excellent guess. That is an excellent guess.
That was a hit movie.
Mm-hmm. Broadway play first, movie second. Actually, cartoon strip first, Broadway play second.
Annie?
Yes. Yes.
What year was that?
1982.
All right, I had just graduated from high school.
Yeah,
I don't think
that the one that was
Annie.
With Carol Burnett?
And she's Miss Havisham.
Hannigan.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the little girl's name who played Annie in that version of it.
Do you? Sarah Jessica Parker was
she on played
Broadway.
On Broadway.
She did?
Yeah.
That's how she got her start.
Yeah. And so did the little girl on Growing Pains. Remember, you know how on a sitcom, once they realize the kids aren't cute anymore, there's a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
So on Growing Pains, they did that. They brought in this little girl with red hair. She was also an Annie.
Oh.
And, of course, Andrea McArdle, Wendy, who we talked about last week.
Yes.
The finest of the Annies. In 1983, we go back to the world of rock and roll. Which woman would have inspired the most popular Halloween costume of 1983?
Joan Jett.
Somebody with spiked hair.
Not Joan Jett.
Wendy Williams.
Nope, not Wendy Williams.
I was her one year.
Were you?
For Halloween, yeah. 1983.
Yep.
Women.
Yep, you're going to kick yourself because this is too easy.
Madonna.
Yes.
Oh.
Madonna, yeah. The most popular Halloween costume of 1983. I was dating a girl at the time who, not on Halloween, but on other occasions, would sometimes dress like Madonna. You did that too?
Oh, my God. Did you do that? Fingerless gloves.
I was just
going to
say fingerless gloves.
All the necklaces and the cross.
Wow.
And the leggings,
like,
and
the thing in your hair, like she tied those.
Yeah, yes,
I did that for a while. Yes, really?
Yeah.
That, I'm sorry, that was just something we went through.
Yep.
Yes,
that's how I would reason it to myself. Is this is a phase? This won't be forever.
Although it lasted a little while, didn't it?
It did. You know what? It
bright red
did.
Lipstick too, right?
Yeah,
it did. And she would always refer to girls who dress that way as Madonna wannabes. And then I one time made the mistake of saying, but aren't you also a Madonna wannabe? And I got, you know, did you ever see a glare where you go, oh my God, it would be better to just
stab you with
a knife than get that look? Because I suggest,
well,
I go, what separates
you?
Well, I was curious. I didn't understand why those girls were Madonna wannabes, but she was dressing a Madonna and she wasn't one. What? I still don't know what the difference is. But boy, that look, it was like...
Is she still dressing that way?
Oh, I hope not. Wouldn't that be something if
God,
she
I
was?
God, I went through that phase, too. It didn't last that long, maybe a few months.
In 1984, Wendy, now, the only clue I'll give you as to these costumes was that a very popular television show now revisited that era, and they wore the costumes that were the most popular costumes in 1984. I know that's a strange clue, but think about what show now.
Stranger Things.
What Halloween costume did the boys wear? Yes.
See how I followed his little
that was well done.
That route?
That was well done.
That was almost like, this is us.
Right.
You didn't know where it was going, but you got there.
I told that story out of order because Wendy watches This Is Us.
Which, did you see the trailer for season 4? It's out.
Of Stranger Things?
Yeah.
It is?
Yes.
How can that be?
I don't know. One of my sons told me it is.
They just signed the deal a few days ago for there to be a season 4. Maybe it's just real generic.
Maybe they were anticipating
just the logo or something. I can't imagine them having... I don't think they've shot on it yet. Kim, you'd like it. You know who's on that show? Miguel from This Is Us.
Miguel.
He's so good on it.
My next show to watch is The Politician with Ben Platt.
That looks really good.
That looks really good.
And isn't
Gwyneth Paltrow's in there and a couple
of
other really big stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Stranger Things renewed for season 4.
But there can't be a trailer that shows footage.
David Harbour may have dropped a major hint about season 4 on Instagram. And I was asked if I saw the trailer, and now I'm not. New teaser, yeah.
But it's just, it can't be footage, because they just 2 days ago announced that there will be a season 4. So I don't know how they could have shot anything yet.
Well, it's this.
Wow, Wendy.
You.
Bless me. Thank you.
Are you all right?
Yes. It's the Stranger Things 4. It is an official announcement, and if you missed it, look at it later.
All right. 1985, the most popular Halloween costume was Michael J. Fox's Marty McFly character from Back to the Future.
Marty!
We gotta go back, Marty! 1986... Now, this is the first one where I genuinely feel old on, because the rest of them, like, yeah, that's my era. I remember kids dressing like that guy or that girl. This one, I knew that this existed, but I didn't think in a million years it would be the most popular costume. It's a cartoon. Are you familiar with Jem and the Holograms?
No.
That's what I mean. That's the first year where the gap hits for me, too, where I just go,
boy,
all those other ones.
86. So I was in college.
Jem and the Holograms was a cartoon about an all-woman rock band.
Like Josie and the
Posers.
Pussycats?
Not
Madonna
a fan.
Madonna wannabes.
Not a fan. Oh, don't even say that, because it'll hurt me. In 1987, back to reality, finally, RoboCop was the most popular costume.
Jeez.
Although that took some doing, because that wasn't an easy make to be the RoboCop. That was a pretty elaborate costume. In 1988, here's one again, I'm going to challenge this one. Could Garfield have been the most popular Halloween costume of 1988?
Garfield's pretty big.
Yeah?
Jeez.
Big enough for people to dress like it, like I could see a couple of scattered
Garfields,
but not a lot.
See how stupid Halloween is?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep. In 1989, Batman.
No. Well, that could be
Yeah,
all
forever.
Time. Yeah.
Right? Forever.
just like Indiana Jones.
In 1990, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah.
Any of the four of them.
Yes.
Can you name all four, Kim?
Michelangelo.
Yep.
Donatello.
Yep.
I know one more.
Who else do you know?
Leonardo. Yeah. And the other one.
And, right.
Because my kids were all turtles.
I can't remember what the fourth one is.
I know they were purple, red, green.
They show orange, blue, yellow, and purple here.
Oh, I thought there was a...
Who's the fourth one?
Ringo?
No.
I don't remember.
They're all like...
All famous painters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't a Michelangelo,
Chagall.
Was there?
No, it wasn't.
Not Chagall? Sure.
No, I can't break till I get the answer here. Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael.
Yeah.
Raphael. Exactly. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We're going to take a quick break.
Power Rangers, because I know they were up there, too.
Next time.
Good night. Until we meet.
That's it, Wendy. No more show. Were you happy with what we did today?
Yes, Henry Winkler. It was great. Dean, it was awesome. Yep. We'll try it again tomorrow, so let's do it.
Tomorrow, my best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey, will be on for a preview of the Blackhawks upcoming season. Can't wait to see him.
And we have Blackhawks tickets to give away. You might want to listen.
Yeah, I'll get back to you. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Great Midwest from Chicago. This is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.